Before I left for Africa, we had a lesson that I only finished half of, and I wanted to complete it this evening. So we'll review a little bit of what we covered 3 weeks ago. It'll be interesting to see how much of that you remember, and then we'll move on to the new material. So we started with the fact that Israel was called out of Egypt, and they never really understood their relationship to God. And the parallel is that many Christians come out of the world and they too never really find their relationship with God or understand it. So I wanted to make the parallel between what happened to Egypt, and then we'll talk about what happens with us, and then we'll try to figure out, where do I fit into this? Am I one of these people who is going to never quite see myself as a son of God or a daughter of God, or am I going to be one of those people who rises above the world like Joshua and Caleb did, and through the eyes of faith, see ourselves with excitement and happiness and zeal, not allowing the world to define us at all? Now, Egypt defined Israel as slaves. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage, and their service, they made them serve with rigor. Probably 12, 13, 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, without any real time to recuperate. And God, though, said, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to take you to the promised land. And initially they believed. And after the Lord overthrew them, or overthrew the Egyptians, they were free. And you would think from that point onward, they would see themselves as God's people going to the promised land, which is exactly what we are. And so, but less than 2 years later, God swore in his wrath, they will never enter my rest. 2 years. From their conversion, so to speak, as they came through the Red Sea and as they saw the children of or the Egyptians on the ground, and yet, after they built the tabernacle, after they stood before Mount Sinai and heard the Ten Commandments, they got to the Promised Land and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. They were still slaves. They could not grasp. And even though, as the gospel was preached to us, it was preached to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. Now, this is what happens with most of the people we convert. They are so excited, just like Egypt or just like Israel was. They are so thrilled and happy, but within 2 years, they've gone back to the world. So what happened is very important. And the problem they faced was very simple. They allowed Egypt and the world to define them, and they didn't have enough faith to see that God wanted to redefine them. Yes, they were slaves in Egypt, no doubt about that. They were powerless in Egypt. Pharaoh had the upper hand. But in a few moments over those 10 plagues, God changed it all, but they never could see it. And so basically they never saw what Moses saw. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Israel never got there. They could not stand affliction. When they were hungry, they murmured. When they were thirsty, they murmured. And they always said to God, we wish we were back in Egypt. And they continued to be unable. They never chose to suffer affliction. They never stopped enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. They never esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. And they never looked at the reward. And many Christians are struggling with that today. And what we want to try to define in this lesson is whether or not we might be one of these people. So when we come to the Promised Land, we have basically 12 spies, two views, and two responses. So the 10 who saw but never united it with faith, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now, that's how they felt in Egypt. That's how they felt throughout the wandering in the wilderness, the opportunity they had to go through the Red Sea. They still never rose above it. Now, Joshua and Caleb, They said, "Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. Their protection is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." All right, so here we have two worldviews, or two ways of looking at life. The one, the children of Israel, could only see themselves as the world saw them. They could only see themselves as they defined themselves. They were still slaves. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They still considered themselves weak. They still considered themselves powerless. The people in the land saw them the same way, and they were ready to give up. But Caleb and Joshua, they said their protection has departed from them. They made the application. Those 10 plagues should have told everyone. The opening of the Red Sea should have told everyone. The feeding of them, the manna and the water out of the rock should have told them. God's with us. We're more than conquerors. We can't be beaten. Even if there was only one of us and thousands of them, we would still win. Well, Israel's choice is, I mean, it isn't, "Well, we just don't really agree with you, Joshua and Caleb." It was, "You need to be stoned to death." I mean, is that rock bottom? They don't even want to hear that they could conquer. They don't even want to hear that God's with them. They want to stone these two men with stones. And that's when God swore in his wrath, "I'm done. Done with these people. They will never enter my rest." And so before we get into the new material, what choice do you think you would have made? Would you have been with Joshua and Caleb? Or would you have wanted them stoned and you want to go back to Egypt? And I hope we'd all answer, well, I think most of us went, "Well, I hope I would make the right choice," because it's hard to put ourselves in other circumstances. But I think we don't have to worry about it, because we'll see pretty quickly whether we would make that choice or not. Now, I want to put up about 5 different scriptures here and a couple of questions. And we have the choice of Moses and the choice of Israel right now. Jesus tells us men are going to cast insults at you. They're going to look down on you. They're going to treat you like dirt. But I'm telling you, you're blessed. So, persecution. In the parable of the sower, many straightway fall because tribulations and persecutions arise because of the word. But if we believe Jesus, then our view of ourselves as Christians completely insulates ourselves from the way the world views us. And we never allow the world to define us. Yes, when we're at work, people look down on us. People might say things about us. People think that we're too harsh or we're too rigid. But we have a different view. Now, in Luke 6, verse 22, "Blessed are you when men hate you, when they revile you, when they cast out your name as evil. Rejoice, leap for joy." How do we respond to that? Do we feel blessed when we're insulted, or do we just feel insulted? Do we rejoice when we're hated, or do we just feel hated? There's a huge difference, brethren, between feeling hated and feeling that we are looked down upon, and rejoicing because we are counted worthy to be persecuted. One is the choice of Moses. The other is the choice of Israel. Jesus said in John 15:18, "The world hates you. The world's going to hate you. But it hated me first." Keep things in perspective. Yes, you're going to be mistreated. You're going to be looked down upon. You're going to be seen as somebody who is unworthy. It's like we talked about this morning in the Bible class. We are a fragrance of life to those who are Christians, and of death to those who are in the world. Now, once I understand that, I'm expecting that. We can't expect that everyone is going to shake our hand and say thank you when we bring the gospel to them. If they love the Lord, if they're seeking, if they're looking, if they have any faith at all, then they're going to see us as a fragrance of life leading to life. But most people are not. So don't marvel, John says, if the world hates you. And finally, all who live godly in Christ are going to be persecuted. So that's the question. When you're being persecuted, do you feel blessed? Or do you just feel persecuted? When we are hated, do we rejoice? Or do we feel hated? Now, God defines us differently. The world defines us as people to be hated, people to be looked down upon, people who are to be considered as people to not want to be around, or people who actually need to be harmed, need to be stoned, basically. But Hebrews 11 says that this world is not worthy of those people who went about in sheepskins and goatskins, afflicted, ill-treated, who lived in the caves and the holes of the earth. And yet, God says, these people, the world's not worthy of these people. So how would we feel? How will we feel if the world falls, or if something happens and we're in sheepskins and goatskins, afflicted, ill-treated? Are we going to say the world's not worthy? Or are we going to say, I'm not worthy? God says you're an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The world says something very different. In Ephesians chapter 1, he says that he wants us to know the hope of this calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of his power. Now, if Israel had had any one of those things, they would have responded very differently, but they didn't. And some Christians don't have it either. And so the eyes of our hearts need to be lit up with the hope of his calling. I'm going to heaven. And it doesn't matter how the world defines me. It doesn't matter how the world looks at me, because through the eyes of faith, I want to see how God sees me and the glory of his inheritance in the saints and the power. As Paul said in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors. And we'll talk about some of these other verses in just a moment, but the point really is, do we feel blessed, honored, protected, citizens of heaven and children of God? Or do we allow the world to define us, and do we feel a little bit dejected right now? Do we feel a little bit blue? The churches are getting smaller. The view of the world is changing to become more and more militant against our stands. And for some people, this is a time of great sorrow and a time of depression and unhappiness, and maybe even a question or two about whether we're making the right choice. And that's where Egypt was. And that's where the children of Israel who were in Egypt felt. They felt like slaves, and they never really rose above that. And so we have a choice. We can make the choice of Moses, who chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. It was a conscious choice. It wasn't something that was thrust upon him. And this is something that we need to understand and make our own decision about. Will I suffer affliction with the people of God? Or will I enjoy the passing pleasures of sin? And so that choice is before us every single day. And the response of the people that were around forces us to continually make that choice. Am I going to see myself the way God says that I am? Or am I going to allow the world to define me? And am I going to feel about myself like a grasshopper? And so the world can define us, or God can define us. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. What kind of a Savior do we serve? We serve a crucified Savior. Why did they crucify him? Because they hated him. Why did they hate him? Because he told them the truth. It's like Paul said, do I become your enemy when I tell you the truth? And the answer to that, sadly, for a lot of people is yes. Stone them with stones. It's what the children of Israel said of Joshua and Caleb. The more I think about that, the more astounding it is. Why would they want those two men who were telling them the truth to be stoned to death to shut them up? And yet, if the world hates you, that's how they want it to be too. You remember when Stephen, they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. We think about it every first day of the week during the Lord's Supper. The world hated him. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master? If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So it's a matter of faith. Yes, I know they persecuted Jesus, and I know why they persecuted Jesus. And then when they persecute me, I know why they persecute me. And I'm a servant of the Lord, and therefore the world is not worthy. And so it's a totally different mindset. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. So instead of allowing the world to define us, we see that the world has such a skewed view that we don't care what the world thinks. And because we have faith in God, we allow God to tell us, this is what you are. Not what these people say, but what I say. And if Israel had done that, they would have come into the promised land about a year after they got out of Egypt. They were headed there. They were only, I think it took them 14 days to get there when God finally allowed them to go directly to the promised land. So once again, do we feel as Jesus defines us? Don't be surprised if the world hates you. It hated me first. It's not a sign of a problem with you. You see, we grew up with this. Disapproval meant you did something wrong. So if we got disapproval from a parent or from a teacher or from a policeman or from someone in authority, we always understood, I've done something wrong. Then we become a Christian and we get the same disapproval, and it's really natural, brethren, to feel the same way, to feel like, well, if they don't look at me properly, then I must have done something wrong. But like Jesus said, I didn't do anything wrong, and they hated me. So if they hate you, just realize you didn't do anything wrong. Don't allow them. We're in a battle. We've got the world and we've got God. And enmity with the world means we love God, and friendship with the world means enmity with God. So we're caught in the middle, just like that song we just finished singing. In battle we must draw. This is my Father's world, but until I die and leave this world, I'm going to be fighting. Fighting against the very people who live in the same world God made, but don't see God. So how we choose to see. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Good and bad. We have the witness of the children of Israel, whom God, he blazons that throughout the New Testament. He blazons the fact that the children of Israel, I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. But then we're also surrounded by Moses and Joshua and Caleb, David with Goliath, Noah with the ark. These were dismal times. Times when people were completely opposed to God. Poor Jeremiah. The entire nation rejected him. God said, go find one man. He couldn't find one. And yet, God told him, I'll be with you. They're going to fight against you, but they're not going to prevail because I'm with you. Now, there were a few moments where Jeremiah lost sight of that, and he got really unhappy. But he righted himself, and he came back around. So we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So we need to lay aside these weights. It's very normal to get discouraged. But if we trust God, we can rise above it. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Verse 3, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I think that would be a good way to describe the children of Israel as they wanted to go into the promised land. They were discouraged and weary in their soul. Let's just go back to Egypt. Let's elect a leader and let's stone these people who are trying to talk us out of it. And so our cloud of witnesses forces us to choose joy or shame, hostility of sinners or praise from God, weights, weary, discouraged, or joy and exaltation. So just take a moment and think about this last week, this last month, this last year, maybe even this last decade. As we've watched the world shift, as we've seen the changes in the religious world, as we've seen the view of Christians becoming lower and lower and lower, are we discouraged? Or does our stand give us a little bit of joy? We're doing what Jesus did. We're taking a stand. And we're not going to let these people affect us. And the very fact that they feel that way about us is a good thing. Blessed are you when men hate you, when men persecute you, for my name's sake. So that brings up an interesting question. Are we going to reign with him? Faithful is the saying, if we died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he abides faithful, for he cannot decide to deny himself. Now, can you see Moses and the children of Israel here? Can you see Joshua and Caleb and the children of Israel here? If we endure, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. So we don't have to ask ourselves the question, what would I have done if I was with the children of Israel? We're already living it and we're already making our decision. If you feel discouraged, if we feel that when we're around people who are in the world or people in denominations, we feel like a second class, we feel a little bit low, we feel like we need to be careful because we don't want to offend them. Or are we bold? Are we convinced and convicted? We're with God. We're teaching what God wants us to teach. We're doing what God wants us to do, and God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? And so I already know what I would have done if I was with the children of Israel, because I'm already doing it, and so are you. So the question is, what choices are we making? And a lot of them are inside and only God can see them, because we're not going to be in a situation where, well, like the children of Israel, where we have to say, we're going in the promised land or we're not going in. Now, our choices are a little more subtle and most of them are very individual and most of them are only in our own mind. So our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. Now that's what Paul said, and that's how he felt. Do you feel like that? Are you a citizen of heaven? Are we waiting eagerly for a Savior who's going to transform our lowly body that may be conformed to his glorious body? If we believe that, all this stuff around here is like mosquito bites. Just minor irritations. They can't hurt us. They can't do any damage. As long as we can hold on to our faith, as long as we see ourselves as an elect race, royal priesthood, holy nation, citizens of God's kingdom, and servants of Jesus Christ, we're going to do all right. And we're going to have this sense of joy and happiness. Now, I can't say that when people that I'm around, that I enjoy and I like, turn on me, that I'm jumping up and down for joy, but over time, after the shock of the loss and the disappointment that I can't help these people, and the sense of feeling just so unhappy about it all, but over time that all fades and we look back over it and we tell ourselves, did the best I could. So here's how the world saw the apostles. We're fools. We're weak. We're dishonored. We hunger and thirst. We're poorly clothed. We're beaten. We're homeless. That sounds familiar. The Church of Christ buildings are so small compared to the denominations. The footprint of the Lord's church compared to the denominations, compared to the worldview of the people, we're not too far away. We're fools, for Christ's sake, just like they are. We're weak. We're dishonored. We're poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. Well, that's probably not there yet, but we could get there. Verse 12, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We've been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. And yet, In Acts chapter 5, they rejoice because they were counted worthy to be treated like this. So there's a huge difference between the apostles and the children of Israel, just like there was between Moses and the children of Israel, when it comes to how they're going to be defined. Now, Paul, on the other hand, he had a very different view. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We don't have to worry about this. If Israel had felt like that, they would have gone right into the promised land and they would have been more than conquerors, because greater is he who is in them than he who is in those people that are in the land of Canaan. So we're more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So that's the question. Are we living a life of joy and peace and comfort, and a life of excitement and anticipation and eager waiting? Or are we living a life of despondency and sorrow and disappointment and maybe just one heartbeat away from saying, you know, I need to quit this. I need to go back into the world. They saw themselves as God saw them, or as they really were what Jesus made them. The world had no influence over them. They didn't care what the world thought. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. All that is of the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. We do not allow the world to define us. We do not allow the responses of wicked people to discourage us. We do not allow the fact that the standing of those who hold to the scriptures is probably at the lowest point that it's been in our lifetime. For us to think what the scriptures say is frowned upon in a way that it hasn't been frowned upon before. And we have to make a decision. Are we going to be like Israel, or are we going to be like Joshua and Caleb? Are we going to be like Moses? Are we going to be like David, or are we going to be like the children of Israel? This is a passage. You probably know. I talk about it a lot because I think it is the key to our salvation. Are we going to look at the things that are seen, or at the things that are not seen? Everything that is seen is temporary. Everything that is not seen is eternal. God defines us. The world defines us. We have to see how God defines us by faith. We feel very keenly how the world defines us. We walk by sight, we're going to get discouraged. If we walk by faith, then we're going to see that the unseen thing, which is all the things we've talked about, you're blessed, you should be leaping for joy, the world is not worthy of you, you are a people, you are the elect race, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, you are God's people. And we walk with confidence, we walk with joy, we walk insulated from all of the persecutions and tribulations because we know how God sees us. And so the question, very simple, are we walking by faith or by sight? Are we like Israel, or are we like Joshua and Caleb? And so it's our choice. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If only the children of Israel had believed that. God would never have sworn in his wrath that they won't enter my rest. They would have never wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. They would not have all died in the wilderness and only the children allowed to enter the promised land. None of that would have happened if only they had believed, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The same thing is true of Christians. If we believe that, then nothing Satan can hurl at us. I mean, you look at Job. Job handled things so well because he believed what God said and not what the world said. Those three friends, they came and they used every possible means from this world to discourage him. And they brought him pretty low. But in the end, he never stopped seeing things the way God said they were instead of how the world was defining him. Yes, he'd lost his family, his friends, his health, his possessions. his wife's love, his friends, they were all gone. But he never wavered. God told Satan he wouldn't, and he never did, because God knew something about him. He knew his servant had faith. He knew the same thing about Moses. He knew the same thing about David. And I hope he knows the same thing about us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do? Yeah, they can cast out our name as evil. They can even put us in prison or put us to death. But like Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body, and after that, there's nothing more they can do. But I will tell you who to fear. Fear him who, after he kills the body, is also able to cast your soul into hell. I tell you, fear him. So our respect, our awe, our reverence, our concern is how God sees us. And if we're concerned about how God sees us, then what the world responds to how God sees us is immaterial. That's what God expected of Israel. That's why he became so angry. That's why he swore in his wrath. Because they could have risen above that. They just chose not to. And the sad reality is that many a Christian today is running into the same problem. They are allowing themselves to be defined by the world instead of by the scriptures. And so as we conclude our lesson this evening, I just want us all to carefully give thought to, what kind of a person am I? And under normal circumstances, am I pretty happy? Am I pretty upbeat? Am I pretty convinced that God is with me and that I'm going to heaven? Or am I one of those people that's just tossed to and fro and wavering and allowing people of this world to impact the way that we see ourselves? And as I say, some people have no problem with it. Other people do. And so as we consider the lesson, what would you have done if you'd been standing there when Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it, and the rest of Israel said, stone them to death? Which side would you have gone? As we sing the song of encouragement, I'd like for everyone to consider that carefully and think about whether we need to make some serious changes in the way we see things. If we can help you in any way, would you please make it known while we together stand and sing?